Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We have a very special show for you indeed this week. We're a big eye on a spectacular 2 days at Leopardstown for the Dublin Racing Festival. Will it be a Willie Mullins mania again? Are our panel going to take on Galopin Deschamps and his bid for a hat-trick in the Irish Gold Cup? And will we see a rival to Constitution Hill in the Champion Hurdle after his win at Cheltenham last week? We'll be looking at some of the big races over the weekend. 8 great ones to get stuck into. We've also got top-level racing in Britain this weekend with the Scilly Isles at Sandown. One of 5 ITV races we'll be looking at there. We'll also go to Scotland for 3 races at Musselburgh, where we've got a potential Triumph Hurdle dark horse among the runners now. It's that time of a show where I do tell you, as always, to rate, review and subscribe. You know, so we had a viewer in from Jamaica last week, which was great to see. Now, we tried this week to get some trainers on the show. We just couldn't afford it. So instead, we've got some postcast regulars. Johnny Pearson at the bottom of me there. Graham Wadway to my right and in the bottom corner, returning after a bit of time away, Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Let's go straight in. The Dublin Racing Festival, 2 days on Saturday and Sunday. Some races on ITV, the ones we're going to talk about. Pick of the highlights of what is a sensational 2 days. As it stands, as of time of recording on Thursday afternoon, we're waiting for declarations for Sunday. We've got them through for Saturday, and it's soft on the hurdles track and yielding on the chase course. But with the first race we're going to look at is the 2:55 at Leopardstown. This is the Goffs Irish Arkle Novices Chase, where Mashborough looks to put it up to Sergino, following the footsteps of Duvan, Footpad and El Fabiola, who went on to Cheltenham Festival glory after winning this race. So, quick spin through the market to see what the panel like. Mashborough is your 8-13 favourite. Il Atlantique, also for Willie Mullins, at 11-4. Touch Me Not, 7-1. Firefox, 8-1. Let's start with you, Johnny. Il Atlantique, 11-4. You've spoken quite highly about this horse in the past. Are you with him on Saturday?
I think he should be favourite based on what they've done so far. Mashborough's obviously been a big talking horse. He won well on chase debut. Beat Tully Hill and Asian Days, and they've not exactly franked the form when the pair of them run against each other next time. Okay, Il Atlantique disappointed over hurdles a bit, and the novice hurdlers from last year aren't looking the smartest bunch. But I think his win over Firefox at the start of the month was very good. He won with plenty in hand. And to date, he's achieved more over fences than Mashburn and should be favourite for the race. And at 11-4, he's got to be a bet for me.
Yeah, so Mashburn 11-4, second favourite for the Arkle, 7-1 for the Arkle is Il Atlantique. You'd probably prefer the latter then, would you?
Yeah, although, I would. You've got Sergino and those obviously going to be plenty short. But I think from what we've seen so far, I'd rather be with Il Atlantique than Mashburn, who's an each-way price for the Arkle, which I'm tempted to take, although I've not gone in yet.
Sure. Come to you, Ed. We've mentioned Sergino. Hopefully we get to see him at Newbury next weekend, don't we? That's the plan. Either going to go to the Game Spirit or the Kingmaker.
Yeah, we sponsor the Kingmaker, so I'm hoping he's going to be there, but he's not. He's going to go for the Game Spirit, following the footsteps of a couple of other novices that have done it for Nicky Henderson in the past. So looking forward to seeing Sergino. In regards to this race, I totally agree with everything Johnny said. I think Il Atlantique has got the best form over fences, arguably not over hurdles, but I think it's pronounced Marlborough. Rather than Mashburn. But I think Marlborough obviously has potential. He's only had 3 runs for Willie, winning the Triumph Hurdle easily. And he was impressive on his chasing debut. And that race was quite deep. We were at Cheltenham that day and everyone walked into the betting office to have a look at that race because it was a Asian Master was in it and a couple of others. And it was a pretty good race. And he jumped really well and he won. As you know, if you owned the horse, you'd be really pleased. But I just think Il Atlantique has got the form in the book and he's already kind of ahead. Come Cheltenham and the later big grade ones of the season, it may be a different story. But today, I think he'll set a fast pace and I think he'll win. Yeah. And more than that is the price as well, like Johnny was alluding to. If they were both evens, you'd probably go for, you might go for Marlborough. But at the prices, I think Il Atlantique is got to be the bet.
All about value, I guess, I suppose. The favourite, though, Graham, that Triumph form is looking red hot. You couldn't have asked for a better chase debut. There's a lot to like about him. And 11-4 to beat Sergino, for all he is short, that just reflects how much potential this horse has, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I get the point that he'll then take us to achieve more, but he's obviously had more opportunity to do so, hasn't he? He's, you know, he's competed in Grade 2 company against better horses. I mean, Marlborough or Madgeborough or whatever we're going to call him. I mean, he, you know, has only run once over fences, and I thought you won't see a much more impressive chasing debut. I mean, he looked up for all the world like he was going to be a proper chasing type last season, and he strode away up the running from Tully Hill, made him look a very ordinary performer, and he was a useful novice hurdler himself. I don't see the point in complicating it. I mean, this Marlborough, you know, he's going to turn up at Cheltenham. He's going to be one of the big hopes from Ireland to turn over the Nicky Henderson hot pot. So I think he'll go to unbeaten. I'm pretty convinced he'll beat Il Atlantique here, and I think he'll beat him well, James.
We're not convinced how to say it, but we're convinced of the outcome. I like to hear it, Graham. That's exactly what it's all about on the podcast. So we'll see whether our panel agree on the 3:30 at Leopardstown, where we take a look at the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, where Gallop and the Champ is bidding for a bit of history, looking to become the first horse to have hat-trick in this race since Florida Pearl. He is 8-13 favourite for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. Fact to file, he's certainly looking like the key threat in the Gold Cup market. Will he perhaps beat him again after he did at the start of a season? Staying a bit of concern. Interest to see what the panel think about his chances. Will he be Gold Cup? Will he be Ryanair? He is 10-3 to win on Saturday. Monty Star, bit of a dark horse in the Gold Cup market, 8-1. And Embassy Gardens, 9-1. And, of course, good old Hewick at 16. So let's start with you, Graham. The race revolves around Gallop and the Champ. Is he a banker on Saturday, or would we look to take him on?
No, I'm quite keen to take him on here, James. He's obviously going to be very, very difficult to beat, isn't he? But he's a short price. He's got a great record around Leopardstown, of course, unbeaten there in 6 starts. But I did think he had quite a hard race when he won over Christmas at a time when a lot of willies were struggling. And I think he could be beatable here. The one that I like is Monty Star, who has been brought along slowly by Henry de Bromhead. And I think he could take a big step forward for that reappearance at Tremor when he chased home Embassy Gardens, who's also in the race, of course, isn't he? He looks like the sort of second-season chaser going places. And you can have a decent each-way bet against the hot favourite here, can't you? With Galloping de Champ making the market. So I'm going to take a chance on Monty Star, James.
I completely agree with everything you said there, Graham. That's the way I'd look at it. And also a view to Cheltenham. There's not many horses that you look at in that Gold Cup market. I think perhaps they're going to be an improver. But Monty Star was the one that I thought perhaps could. And for all I'm not sure he'd beat Gallop and Deschamps, I'd rather be backing him each way, just if there was an off day for the Gold Cup. Great. Johnny, do you see any doubts with Gallop and Deschamps? Would you want to take him on?
I think Gallop and Deschamps is the most likely winner. It's hard to get away from that. I think Rodgers has got that. Has been very harsh on Embassy Gardens, though. They were both having their reappearance run, both him and Monty Star, and he absolutely made mockery of him. He won very easily, was going away at the end. They both got just as much upside, and arguably Embassy Gardens more. So I think, you know, I'd argue they're completely the wrong way around the betting, and I'd much rather be with Embassy Gardens out of the two of them. I've said for a long time, fact of fire, win the Gold Cup. I'm starting to doubt that, but I think if they get it right, he's probably the biggest danger still to Gallop in the Champs. But yeah, Embassy Gardens, I thought was really impressive. He's obviously had issues at Cheltenham. Something went wrong last year. Irregular heartbeat was something that he pulled up at Punchestown. But I was so impressed with his reappearance. And I think each way he's got a cracking chance of being in the top three.
Just on fact file, Johnny, before we move on to Ed. 7-2 with Unibet for the Gold Cup. 130 with Ryanair for the Ryanair. There is a little bit of concern about his stamina. Is he a certain runner, do you think, in the Gold Cup? Or could you see connections perhaps going for the Ryanair?
His stamina's fine. He got up the Cheltenham Hill last year, albeit over slightly less. He was a bit keen last time. Gallop and the Champs had the run of the race in the front. So I wouldn't read too much into that for all. You know, he did put him to the sword at the end of the race, so to speak. But I don't think stamina's the issue. He's clearly, you know, everything has been geared to the Gold Cup. You know, they wouldn't have gone for the brand advisory last year, they would have gone for the turn as it was back then. If they didn't think he was a real 3-miler or didn't think he was going to be a Gold Cup horse, I think there's only one place that he's going to go.
It's a depressing thought, I think, James. You know, the idea that Galloping de Champ's biggest rival, most exciting up-and-coming staying chaser against him might not even run against him in the greatest race of the lot, the Gold Cup. You know, I've seen Ruby Walsh mooting that they might go and run Factor File in the Ryanair instead. How boring would that be if they go and do that? I mean, don't get me wrong, Willie Mullins has done a great job of monopolising the festival over the years, hasn't he? But if he goes and runs Factor File in the Ryanair and it goes off 5-4 favourites, it's going to be ruining the race, isn't it?
It would be a huge shame, and I think the only way we can look at it is that Willie Mullins is a victim of his own success, where he can have this choice as to where he goes to try and win as many races as he can. So that is the way the situation. But Johnny, pretty clear that Factor File he thinks will end up in the Gold Cup. We'll have to wait and see as the weeks go on. Ed, we've got a Super Boost in this race. Are you taking on the favourite as well?
I'm going to row in with Galloping Deschamps. 6 out of 7 at Leopardstown, as we've said, all of the races over the fences he's won. I mean, he's just, to me, he just looks, I think he's a better horse than Factor File. Incidentally, I know that JP McManus, if you're thinking about the Ryanair and the Gold Cup, have a look at all the runners that JP's run in the Ryanair. Not that many. He prefers to go for the Queen Mother or the Gold Cup. Those are the two championship races. He has run horses in the race. Uex Bantra, I think, I can't remember how to pronounce it, has won it, but he tends to want to run to back up what Graham's saying. He does tend to go for those two races rather than the Ryanair. That's not to say he won't run him in this year's Ryanair, but yeah, Galloping Deschamps to win the Gold Cup, and it's a race I love as well, James, because we sponsored this race back in 2017 and 18, and the whole point of me sponsoring that race was to try to help with the Dublin Festival when it was going to become the Dublin Racing Festival with Pat Keogh, the chief executive back there. And the idea was we're going to get it on ITV. That was the point. And then, unfortunately, our 3-year deal came to an end and then it went on ITV. So we lost out. But I've got a picture here of me presenting the prize to JP and Joseph O'Brien when Ed Wolfe won. Remember that? When I thought it was going off 100-1. It went off at 33s and I think one or two people backed him at 33s as well. So it's a race I love, and I think Galloping Deschamps will win.
Yeah, well, Ireland have been dominant since the inception of the Dublin Race Festival, Ed. So you perhaps can be blamed for the disastrous results you've had at the Cheltenham Festival. If you're looking for someone to blame, then look in the corner of our screen for Ed Nicholson. Let's move on to Sunday's action quite quickly. We're still on the entry stage as we record, so things may change. This is the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, the first race we're going to look at, launched in 2018, and Willie Mullins has won all 7. Will he make it 8? Well, he's got Gaelic Warrior, who is a 4-6 favourite, Marine Nationale, 4-1, the former Supreme winner, Solness at 7-1, 8-1, El Fabioli went off 1-2 in the Champion Chase after winning this last season. Will we get to see him? We'll have to just wait and see. Johnny, Gaelic Warrior, yes or no?
I'd be a lot more confident if it wasn't around Leopardstown, I'd tell you that much. But I think he should be winning the race. El Fabioli's clearly had issues since Cheltenham last year, where I thought he was a certainty to win the Champion Chase. I'm not sure if he's going to run and what horse is going to be left, so to speak. I think Gaelic Warrior's form in the Arc last year is as good as anything here. I think he got a bit of a funny ride by Patrick Mullins last time. Probably apparently he wasn't fully fit. If they ride him a bit more prominently, a bit more aggressively, so almost, he should be too good. And he's my idea of the Champion Chase winner at this point as well.
So taking on John Bond, that's against the norm almost.
No, win the Champion Chase. Won't worry about that.
Confident selection. Are you a Gaelic Warrior as well, Ed?
No, I'm going to take him on. I mean, he hasn't got a great Leopardstown record. However, he's only had 3 runs around there, so it's unfair to say that, really. But I remember him unseating when he wasn't going to win. He's won a handicap hurdle off 1-4-3. And he came second at Leopardstown when he was a short price. He's not the kind of horse I want to be taking 4-6 about. Let's put it that way. So I'd rather be against him. It's will the real Gaelic Warrior please turn up, isn't it? Because if the Gaelic Warrior who ran last time turns up, he's going to get beaten even by Solness. But if the Gaelic Warrior who won the Arkle turns up, the English Arkle, then he wins it. So because of that, I don't want to take 4-6. So I'm going to go in with Marine Nationale, providing, obviously, we don't know whether he definitely runs, but he won his Supreme in effortless style. Everyone, he was favourite for the Arkle straight after. Hasn't really set the chasing world alight, but has only had a few runs. I get the feeling he's not been right for a long time. And again, he hasn't really set the chasing world alight over the last couple of runs, but he's slowly coming to himself. He jumps okay. I'm going to give him a chance because I think he's the most likely horse to win if Gaelic Warrior doesn't fire. So that's the reason. Not a bet for me, but I'm going to select Marine Nationale.
4-1 and 14-1, if you like, his chance for the champion chase. Barry Connors, Little Racing Post this week, he'll be bang there. So confidence perhaps from the yard, he's going to fire back to his best. Graham, Ed touched on Gaelic Warrior being a bit of an enigma. That's putting it pretty lightly, isn't it? He's been enigmatic all the way through his career. Which side of Gaelic Warrior are you going to be on?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if he turns up on his best form, the rest of them might as well not turn up, might they? He's just a different gravy when he turns up on his best, but he doesn't always. And yeah, his last two runs at Leopardstown, you might have to argue, have been well below his best. Although I'm not entirely convinced of this theory that Leopardstown isn't his track. I mean, he has won there, hasn't he, over hurdles? And I thought he should have won last time. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, Solness stole the race from the front. Patrick Mullins has given the horse a ridiculous ride, given it an awful lot to do, and he's flown home, hasn't he, and finished second. And to be fair to Patrick, he probably thought Solness was just going to tie up. That's how I saw it anyway. I mean, obviously, there was thick fog, and we only saw him come out the fog about second last. But certainly, when they came out the second last, Solness was too far ahead for Gaelic Warrior to have any chance. With a better ride, Gaelic Warrior wins.
Pretty straightforward. Let's move on to the last race we're looking at from the Dublin Racing Festival in Focus. This is the 320, the Irish Champion Hurdle. Should be some real points towards the Unibet Champion Hurdle in Cheltenham Festival in March. Lossy Mouth, 8-15. State Man, 7-4. They're the two main protagonists here. Winter Fog, 16. Daddy Longlegs, 33. As I said, this is still entry stage. We're still not 100% sure of the field. But what we do know, Graham, is you're controversially going to put out there that it's not constitutional for you in the Champion Hurdle.
No, yeah, I quite strongly fancy Lossy Mouth to reverse the Kempton places with Constitution Hill. I mean, we all know that Willie Mullins weren't firing on all cylinders at Christmas, and you will not see a horse do much more wrong than Lossy Mouth did in the early part of that Kempton race. I mean, she was so slow and lethargic over some of her hurdles. She was being pushed along just to stay in touch. Watch the finish. I mean, she's closing on Constitution Hill. She's only beaten just over two lengths by him at the line. First time Constitution's has to be shaken up. I think you'll see a different horse, I think, in the spring at Cheltenham. I mean, she's looked absolutely superb around Cheltenham every time she's been around there, hasn't she? She was outstanding when she won the Mayor's Hurdle, when she won that International Hurdle last season. Don't get me wrong, Constitution Hill is an absolute superstar, but he scrambled home, didn't he, past Lossy Mouth, with Lossy Mouth doing absolutely everything wrong. I know he won on the bridle Constitution Hill the other day, but I mean, the second was Brentford Oak, rated 146. I mean, he almost fell at the last. I think that he's a great horse, Constitution Hill, but I think we've seen the best of him. So I expect Lossy Mouth will win this race and then go on to beat him in the Champion Hurdle. So, I'll be back in. Well, I won't say I'll back her this weekend because she's very, very short for this Irish Champion Hurdle, isn't she? With State Man obviously not looking the horse that he was last season. But I'm tempted to back her for the Champion Hurdle because I think you can get a fair price on her. And if she wins impressively, she'll shorten up to beat Constitution Hill.
She likely will shorten up. 7-2 is the current price for the Champion Hurdle with Unibet. She's 8-15 for the Irish Champion Hurdle, just to clarify. Before we move on to this race, Ed, Constitution Hill and the Unibet Hurdle, you must be thrilled to see all your stars come together. Had a little bit of a fright. How was the heart rate watching that?
We're watching it right from the top, and I can sit right at the top where the director's box is, and it looks even worse up there than it does on the TV because you can see it all happening and unfolding. It wasn't great to watch. I thought he was certain to come down, as a lot of people did, but obviously, because Nico and Nikki are ambassadors and we sponsored the race, I got a chance to talk to Nico almost straight away after the race. And he just said that the horse was going so easily. He was just looking around and wasn't concentrating. He wanted to go quicker. Because if you look at the replay, he asks him for quite a big one just by the wings. And the horse puts down and he goes through the hurdle. And your front page of the Racing Post showed a great photo of that last fence fiasco, and Nico was blaming him. He said he asked the horse to jump, he should have done it, and the horse got him out of trouble. He just said to Nicky, though, he needs to gallop in on the Monday because he just did no work whatsoever. It's a nice piece of work to pick up £150,000 and the Unibet hurdle, and it was a Unibet hurdle last year when Lossiemouth won it, and it's now becoming a real champion hurdle trial, isn't it? So we're really pleased with it. And also, can I mention at this stage, James, we're running a competition on Twitter, which is everybody loves Constitution Hill. Well, you've got a chance to go and see Constitution Hill gallop at Nicky Henderson's stable, and also get a couple of tickets for the first day at the Cheltenham Festival, which features the Unibet Champion Hurdle. If you go to Unibet Racing or my Twitter account, Ed Nicholson 68, then you'll see an opportunity to win that prize. And all you got to do, there's a picture of Nicky and Michael and Nico with Constitution Hill, and Constitution Hill sticking his tongue out. And we kind of thought we'd do a caption. So whoever comes up with the best caption by the 4th of February, Nicky will choose it himself. And then two lucky people will be coming down to Seven Barrows to watch Constitution Hill gallop in the morning. So that's a good prize to have. In terms of this race, I mean, I normally agree with Graham so much, but I totally disagree. I think Constitution Hill will beat Lossiemouth in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. And it's correct about Lossiemouth and look at how close she finished. But Nicky was adamant that Constitution Hill was nowhere near ready for that race. Well, sorry, that's wrong. That would have come on for the run. And in the column, I actually don't normally write the column every week, but I spoke to him on that particular weekend. And he said he's going to get beaten once. And I fear it's going to be today. So they were delighted that he managed to win. And he also he was very keen early on. Nico said that he had to pull him back a few times. So he would have been tiring. He also had a blow before the first hurdle, according to Nico. So I still think there's a bit of improvement. Well, there is a lot of improvement to come. And I don't think Lossiemouth will win on Sunday. I think State Man will win. State Man, Unibet Champion Hurdle winner. He's been below par. He got beaten in the Unibet Morgiana, then got beaten last time, and he didn't even hold on for second. But that was a strange race. If you watch it, and I've watched it a couple of times this morning, he kind of got left in the hole and tried to make up ground and was never going to win. But if you look at the RPR ratings, which I know you guys obviously work with all the time, that race wasn't a particularly strong RPR for State Man. Obviously, he was in the 150s. But every other last 11 RPR ratings of State Man have been over 160-odd. Lossiemouth has not got over 160 at all in any of her races. So if you're going on Racing Post ratings and you're going on, you know, what you've seen on the race course, I think State Man should be favourite. So I'm going for State Man at 7-4. Hopefully he'll come back to form. Daddy Longlegs has entered in the race for the same connections. I just question whether that he might be there to make sure there's a nice pace for State Man, because all of State Man's races that he's won have been, I mean, I know there was a good pace in that race over in Ireland, but he was too far behind. So I just, maybe the day long as he's going to take him there, and the State Man just quickens away from Lossiemouth.
There's just a point to make on the RPRs, James. Obviously, first
mayor's
up,
allowance.
The mayor's allowance, yeah. So with Lossiemouth running to 156, you know, with £7 mayor's allowance, that would get her to 163. 156 is her best. So technically, she has run to 160s. But what I would also say about Lossiemouth is, a bit like what I said about Ilat Lantik and Madra, I just don't think Lossiemouth really has had the opportunities to go and run against the horses who are going to give her that sort of rating, if you know what I mean. She's spent a lot of time against mares, hasn't she? And yeah, it's great when you're beating up mares, but the mares are not rated. A lot of those top mares are not rated anywhere near in the same parish as some of these top horses. I mean, this is a golden opportunity, isn't it, to go and put up a big RPR and then go into the festival with maybe a 160 behind her. And I hope that she can do it.
There's so many ways to look at this race, and you could come back with you, Graham, and say, well, yeah, she has opportunity and she was beaten. So loads of different ways you can analyse this. Fascinating to see how it has an impact. Lossiemouth, 7-2 for the champion. State Man, 10-1 to retain it. I'll come to you, Johnny, bring you in here to this debate. Willie Mullins on his press day said about State Man, he's always been our number one. So that was an interesting comment looking ahead to Sunday's race.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened last time. His performance was sort of more limp than overcooked spaghetti, wasn't it? But he's the best horse in the race. adjusted RPRs on having top over what Lossy Mouth has done. Lossy Mouth won't win, and she'll end up in the mare's hurdle and hoping Brighter Days Ahead goes to the champion hurdle. And that's what I think is going to happen. And State Man, who turns up, beats her.
Depressing. This is just depressing. Now you're telling me she's going to go for the mares. God, man, what's the other one? Rectifier's going to go for the Ryan here. Lossy Mouth's going to go for the mares. And then it's all going to be loads of short price favourites again. Come on, Johnny, please, no.
I think Johnny's bad mood is by the cooking of his pasta time. So we'll have to move on. Before we go into Saturday's action, Johnny, we know you do a lot of handicap for the Irish racing. What else has caught your eye across the weekend? And of course, do you think Willie Mullins is going to win all eight Grade One races again?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been through all Sunday yet, but he's got a good chance. I mean, there's a lot of horses not running. I mean, you know, Gordon Elliott's not running a few. Henry de Bromhead, you know, said he's going straight to the festival. Workhead is my idea of the Supreme winner, and William Money franked that form by running pretty well last weekend. But as regards to this weekend, there's an easy to find winner of a 26 runner handicap hurdle, and it is the 225. It's Meeting of the Waters for Willie Mullins and Rachel Blackmore. Horses rated 112 over hurdles, but 148 over fences, which is Irish handicapping for you. But hasn't run over hurdles since back in 2023, and it's had sort of best part of 10 runs over fences. Should be absolutely thrown in on chase form. I think pretty sure Mark Walsh isn't on the ride because he can't do 10 stone turn. Rachel Blackmore can, you know, it's a short enough price, about a 26 runner race, but really should be good enough to win. And then on Sunday, like Carnico in the 140, 2 mile novice hurdle, was disappointing at Christmas in behind, was it Romeo Coolio, beaten a long way, but you know, nearly chucked Patrick off at the second and never really recovered properly and just looked a bit disappointing. But I was really impressed with him at Tremor, and at sort of 20 plus to one, he looks a good each way bet to place in that race, I think.
Meeting of Waterston, 225 at Saturday. I love the line, easy winner in a 26 run a handicap hurdle. That's always good to hear. Is it Carnico in the 140 at Sunday?
Carnico, yeah.
Carnico, I think I've got that right. Gig and Sound Horse for Willie Mullins, of course. Graham, what else has caught your eye?
Yeah, James, the first race on Saturday is a really cracking race. The 115 Final Demand's going to be quite a hot favourite for Willie Mullins. But I think there might be a spot of value in taking him on with a horse called Pray Tell, who's been in really, really good form recently and quickened up really smartly to win a Grade 3 novice hurdle last time out at Cork. And the fact that it's trained by some guy I never heard of, Desmond Kennelly, and ridden by some other guy I never heard of, John Shinnick, you know, means that the horse is going to be a big old price, but it's got the form to run a race, I think, there each way. The last race is the bumper. It's a decent bumper. It's not a big one, is it? I don't think. Maybe it is the big one, the Future Stars. I was very impressed with Charles Burns's winner. I Started a Joke at Limerick last time. Was right at the back and showed a really smart turn of foot to come through and beat a horse called Road Exile by a nose. I think I Started a Joke could upset what's probably going to be another Willie Mullins hot pot in that last Green Splendor. So there's a couple from me. The John Shinnick and Desmond Kennelly. What a partnership that is. Pray Tell in the first 115 at Leopardstown and the 435. I Started a Joke.
And of course, final mention before we move on to the action in Britain is the Racing Post will be running a live blog through the 2 days. Do check it out. All the updates, all the news, all looking ahead to Cheltenham, analysis, tips, everything you ever want in there. So do check that out. Now, we'll be turning our attention to Sandown. We've got some big fancies, another Grade One, but we'll just take a very short pause.
The big punting survey is back. Punters, it's time to have your voice heard on major betting issues. Plus, you'll automatically be entered into a prize draw for one of five £50 Amazon vouchers. Visit racingpost.com/BPS or scan the QR code to take the survey today.
So we turn our attentions to Sandown. We've survived the inspection on the hurdles track as we discussed on Thursday afternoon, where the ground is soft, heavy in places on the chase and heavy, soft in places on the hurdle, possibly a bit more rain to come before racing. But we're going to start with a 125 at Sandown. This is the Virgin Bet Daily Price Boost Novices Handicap Hurdle. The King Ping has some form on testing ground. He is top of weight and top of the betting, joint favourite at 7-2 with Soul Solution. just lucky similar for Paul Nichols, who won this race in 2023 at fours. Caliph Dairy 13-2, an old time chaser at 7-1. Johnny, what do you like?
I thought Soul Solution was pretty interesting here. One, well, I think the form at Leicester, second 6 mile bridge, has obviously had quite the boost at the week. Last weekend at Cheltenham with 6 mile bridge, beating Potter's Charm. But if you watch the race, he won at Hereford last time. He's beaten a horse called Bucknell, who granted isn't worth the £350,000 the owners paid for the horse. But he won with so much in hand. You just watch him finish, and he's, you know, near enough on the bridle still, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's clearly had a bit of a problem, didn't run from January 23 to November 24. But that bumper that he won at Foss last, the form's working out pretty well. Norman Fletcher's come out and been pretty useful for the Twist and Davis yard. He's actually declared somewhere on Saturday up in Musselburgh, I think. But yeah, and Soul Solution, the other benefit is it's going to be really, really testing at Sandown. You know, they've had inspections to see if the hurdle track's going to be raceable. He's run well on heavy ground. He's won on soft ground. I think he's a cracking chance.
Ground's going to be so important. Ed, you agree with Johnny?
Totally agree. I mean, there's nothing more I can add, really. Everything Johnny said is why I think he's got a cracking chance. Lightly raced as well, only 5 runs. The only thing that I would like to add is that when the mud is flying, and it will be on Saturday, you want to be with Venetia Williams trained horse, don't you? And she's in great form at the moment. 5 wins from her last 21 runners. The mud's there. It's an improving young horse. It's shown its goes on the ground. And as Johnny alluded to, he's been beaten by the right horse, and he beat a horse who's rated 115 by 3 and odd lengths. And he's got a really nice handicap mark to start his handicap career on. So, yeah, I think Soul Solution should go very close. He's been nibbled at, I've just noticed already. He was a bigger odds than we got now, I can tell you. So there's a few people that are thinking the same as me and Johnny.
Venetia Williams, of course, had that big boost on Cheltenham on Saturday with the home press winning the Cotswold. Graham?
I like Spring's a Girl. Yeah, Spring's a Girl was very impressive, I thought, when winning at Ludlow last time. It didn't go very fast. She's quite a keen going mare. She was at the back trying to get settled. Dara McConville rides essentially just had to let her go. She went from the back to the front and stayed on really strongly and won going away. That was over 2.5 and a half around Ludlow. She was no stronger than that line. She's going back down to 2.4 at Sandown. But of course, as you've already said, and Johnny's already said, the ground is going to be very, very testing. She's by a French sire out of a Tiger Heel mare. So I think she'll go on the ground. And there's been a little bit of money around for her as well. So I like Spring's a Girl here, James.
On to the 2 o'clock at Sandown, the Virgin Bet every Saturday money back handicap chase, where we've got a potential grand annual clue. Etalon is 11-2 second favourite for the 2 mile handicap at the Cheltenham Festival. Interesting to see how he gets on. He's been really out of form, but 2-1 favourite on Saturday. Dan Skelton won this race in 2023 and had the second last year. So Etalon is 2-1 favourite. Martador has won over 110 grand already in prize money this season, 5-2. Gunsight Ridge at fives, Solo and Classic Maestro at sevens, and Dr. T.J. Eckelberg 9-1 for Evan Williams. We will start with Johnny.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. I think there's quite a few horses in here who've decided for whatever reason they don't want to perform to their best this season. Etalon being first and foremost. I mean, I reckon he was probably going to run quite well at Windsor before unseating Harry Skelton. But it's far too short in the betting for anything he's done in his last sort of 5 runs or so. Martator, I don't think he's overly well handicapped. Gunsight Ridge, pulled up last time, failed time before, can't entertain that. Solo, he's been running okay, but don't think he's that well handicapped either. And I've fallen on Classic Maestro for Jenny Candlish. You know, he's been winning on soft ground, heavy ground. He's formed behind Ned Tanner last time, beaten 3 lengths over the wrong triple. They did stay on. It was a bit of a funny ride, actually, or race. But the form's working out. The second that day's come out and won, and that's an improving horse. Ned Tanner's arguably improved, despite not winning next time out. I think he's got everything in his favour with Luke Scott claiming 5, and looks a huge price, so.
7-1 is Classic Maestro. Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat what I said on the 4th of January, which didn't actually go that far because the meeting was called off at Sandown. But I thought Etalon had a great chance that day, and I think he's got a great chance this day. Since then, he's run at Windsor and unseated, as Johnny said. But they obviously thought a lot of this horse. He ran in the Grade 1 Aintree Novice, you know, the Mughill Novices, when he was rated 142. There were horses in the race that were rated much higher than that. And he's since disappointed, but he's come down the weights as a result. And he's on a kind of nice mark, I thought. Last time at Sandown, I noted he was back from 8-1 down to about 3-1 before the race meeting was abandoned. And there's already been a bit of market movement for him. I just get the feeling that this Etalon, on this softer, heavy ground, given the fact he's obviously shown something more at home recently because they're running him in a better race and also there kind of been money for him the last time he was entered as well. I just get a feeling I think he's quite well handicapped and I'd expect him to win on the ground that he'd probably like. He's won on soft. You never know if they take to heavy, but it's soft at the moment, according to Sandown in the Racing Post site. So, yeah, Etalon for me to hopefully do what he would have done on the 4th of January.
I believe your traders must think he might be well handicapped given he's 11-1 for the Grand Annual as well, Ed.
Yeah,
exactly. We know what the scalps can do with pick handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival. Finally, we come to you, Graham.
Straightforward for Gunsight Ridge, I think. Absolutely loves it around Sandown, doesn't he? He's had three runs around Sandown, first, second and third, course and distance winner on heavy ground. And yes, he might well have pulled up and fell on his last two starts, but he would have won. He'd have won on one of those. I mean, if he hadn't fallen at the last at Cheltenham, I think he'd have picked Matata up. He was making ground hand over fist as they come to the last before he took an unfortunate fall. He jumped the fence, okay, and then just knuckled on landing. So back at his favourite track on his ideal ground, I think Gunsight Ridge would go really well here.
We move on to the 2:35 at Sandown, our big race in Britain this weekend. This is the Virgin Bet Scilly Isles Novices Chase, a Grade 1 contest where the Nicky Henson trained Django Bay is top of the betting at 5-6. Handstands are looking to give Ben Pauling a boost after that pretty gutting news that the jukebox man wouldn't be going to the Cheltenham Festival, misses the rest of the season. Will he get a boost with Handstands? Calliffe de Burley looking to give Paul Nichols a first Grade 1 winner in almost a year at 3-1. And Mark of Gold, 22-1 outsider. Let's start with you, Graham. What wins the Scilly Isles?
I think if they ever win this, Django Bay, he was very, very good, wasn't he, on his debut over fences. First time out, he thrashed Springwell Bay, who, of course, came out and thrashed a good field of seasoned handicappers back at Cheltenham next time. And he just looks like he's going to make up into a far better chaser than he was hurdler. So keep it simple, James. Django Bay wins.
That's what we like to hear. Ed, we know Unibet have the association with Nicky Henson. He's 12-1 for the Brown Advisory, 33 for the Arkle. What direction do you think Django Bay is going to end up heading? And do you think he's going to win on Saturday?
I think he's more of a three-miler. Spoke to Nicky, sat down with him, talked about his horses. And he said at the moment he's a genuine 2.5-miler, which is why he's in this race. But they tend to go further than back at Nicky's, don't they, when they go through their career. And I've just quickly, while I've been on here, I've just read the column for both Nicky and Nico, which will get put out by the time this gets out on Friday. And they both say the same thing. They both say that Django Bay's done nothing but impress them at home, but also that this was a race that they'd pinpointed since that win. But they also thought that it's been made much easier by the fact the Irish haven't come over. I think they were worried that Imperium Bass and others would come over. So they're very happy. I personally thought that Handstands was the selection here. I've forgotten that these two have actually met before over hurdles in the Sydney Banks at Huntingdon. When Handstands beat Django Bay by a length and a half, receiving £5, but I've watched the video a couple of times and Handstands was always travelling well, Django Bay not so. And Django Bay stayed on and was never nearer. But Handstands has always looked a chaser, as so is Django Bay, to be fair. But, you know, Handstand's got some quality over hurdles. He was the highest positioned English horse in the 2.5-mile Grade 1 novice at Cheltenham when he came 6th of 7. That was a good performance. And he's been quite good over fences. And some people might look at his form and see that he won a novice chase at Fosse Lass But what they might not know is that race was transferred from Weatherby, and it's the Taunton Novices, a grade two, which is always contested by some decent horses. Ahoy yeah. Signors won that race. Black Lions won that race. The previous winner of the race that went and won it last year was a good horse as well. Colonel Harry, a couple of years ago, won it. So it's a good race, that race. So I wouldn't put the fact that he's just won a novice chase at Fos Las against him. I think Hansdans is a really good progressive staying novice chaser, and I think he'll beat Django Bay on Saturday.
I will not hear any downbeat comments regarding Fos Las and the form of Fos Las, Ed, or any of the Welsh tracks.
Nor would I.
You're right. And of course, that race has, of course, changed distance in the last few years. So the complexion of the Taunton has changed. And of course, it was moved. Johnny, Hansdans has beaten Django Bay. Will Django Bay get revenge on Saturday?
No, I'd ignore that hurdle run at Huntington myself. I have to disagree with and agree with Rodders. Hansdans, the race at Fos Las, okay, won well, but it wasn't a particularly good race, I didn't think myself. And what he has got to his advantage is you're going to need to stay at Sandown, and he's definitely going to stay the trip. So, you know, he has got that to his advantage. But Django Bay, I think that's one of the best novice chase performances we've seen all season. You know, he takes Sergini out of the way, and I'd argue it possibly is the best novice chase performance in this season. Caliph de Burley, I'd have as running better than Hansdans did. I thought his run at Cheltenham was good. Vincenzo's come out last weekend and frankly, that form. Paul Nicholls is some of his running a bit better again, having been through a little bit of a tough time at the start of the year, I felt. But no, I think Django Bay will be too good, and hopefully they go for the Brown advisory at Cheltenham, because I have had a bet on him before that race.
A little bit of insight into Johnny's punting, just from a Cheltenham Festival's perspective. Caliph de Burley is 50-1 for the Arkle. Hansdans won't go, and Mark of Gold doesn't have any entries, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was to potentially get one in the handicaps bar. I think he might need a few more runs. We'll move on to the next race. This is a £100,000 contest and big chances for England, Ireland and Wales on Six Nations weekend. This is the 307 at Sandown, the Virgin Bet Heroes handicap hurdle, where we've got Henry II at the top of the betting at 7-2. Looks so good over the course and distance in December. Shoot First at 4-1 for Charles Burns. Of course, won the 100 grand fixed brush at Haydock. What a Johnny. Hopefully, we'll be saying that after some naps later on in the show. At 6-1, Deep K for Christian Williams, won this race a few years ago. Dartmoor Pirate 15-2. Red Dirt Road at 8, along with Edifix Surge. I think I've got that right. I did Rebecca Curtis's weekend of Stapleton this week. Even she can't pronounce this horse's name. I've probably done it no good. What do we like, Graham?
Yeah, it is a really good bet here, named after one of our panellists. What a Johnny. I think What a Johnny has been waiting to win a handicap like this. I'm in danger of following him over a bit of a cliff, James, I must admit, because I backed him at Market Raisin a couple of starts ago, and I thought he was certain to win coming to the last. And he was making ground up really fast, a clean jump at the last, and I think he'll go away and win. And then he actually didn't go by and finished third. Did go about the declared tongue strap at the time, which I found a little bit annoying because, of course, you know, having come to win, maybe he did just choke a little bit. But again, last time at Cheltenham, he ran in a hot handicap hurdle there. He was going nowhere coming down the hill. And then he starts motoring as they hit the rising ground, passes about five horses, comes up, looks like he's going to press for second. Again, just flattened out a little bit towards the line. However, the key to him here might be cheek pieces. He doesn't travel for his races. He tends to drop himself out. It reminds me a little bit of a sort of poor man's Paisley Park. You know, like he finds himself in a bit of a flat spot and then flies home. Hopefully the cheek pieces will help him travel through the race a little bit better. All of his best form is on soft and heavy ground, so conditions will really suit him. And Gavin Sheehan's taking over from Sean Bowen in the plate. Could be a good day for Ollie Murphy at Sandown, I'm hoping, James. And What a Johnny is one of my best bets of the day.
Poor man's Paisley Park. That is an incredibly harsh statement. Sean Byrne is at Weatherby on Saturdays. Why he's not got a few rides at Sandown chasing. Winners, of course, going for that champion title. Ed?
Yeah, really competitive, difficult race, as you say. We're going extra place in it. There's a few offers I haven't actually spoken about, which is my bad. But we've got the industry best price on a race at Sandown as well, and a few extra place races. But this is one of those. and you probably need it. It looks a really difficult race. I think we could tip up half the field here. They'd all have a chance. My eye was drawn to Shoot First, who is the top weight on heavy ground. Probably not a sensible selection, but Charles Burns, I think we've already tipped up one of his this weekend, haven't we, Graham? And his horses are just coming around the form. I saw he had a winner yesterday at Limerick, and he's coming back into form. I always put the stable, whenever they ever come over to the UK, I always think it's worth looking. But I looked at the form, and this actually was the last UK winner of 12. So only 11 have lost, and this fella won at Haydock. And he's since ran ninth in the Grade 1 Howden long walk at Ascot. And that was Grade 1. He didn't do that well. Came ninth, back into handicap company, got 1.45. It's probably a bit of a high ask. Probably won't be backing it myself. But on the heavy ground on the hurdle course, it's soft on the chase at the moment at Sandown. That would be a concern as well. But I just thought he had the profile of an improving handicapper. The fact they stepped him up into Grade 1 was interesting, I thought. I think they were trying to see whether he was a graded horse or a Grade 1 horse, where they would go in the future. But they've come back tier, 1.45. I mean, the Potemps, a lot of these horses are in the Potemps. I know we've been talking about Cheltenham Festival. Potemps, I looked at the lowest weight in the Potemps last year. That was a rating of 1.29, and the highest was 1.51. So, I mean, it's a £100,000 race in its own right, so you want to win it. But there's a few here that will be thinking about that race as well, especially with the new qualifications and the classification. So it's a real tricky race. I really think this is the most difficult race of the whole weekend.
Will it be What a Johnny for Johnny?
I thought it was going to be on New Year's Day when I backed him, and I was a bit disappointed there. I mean, I can't help but feel... I mean, Sean Bowen, by the looks of it, is off to Weatherby to ride a couple of bumper horses. You said I was going to say it myself. They have gone for the cheap pieces. I think he'll run well, but I'm not going to be having a bet on him. Shoot First, I'm annoyed I didn't back at Haydock. I noticed it, you know, there was this, it was Stewards looked at his rate at the run at Galway on his reappearance.
Yeah.
I made a fair note of it in my notes when I was rating handicap in the race. And then he drifted out like the proverbial barge at Haydock and won pretty comfortably. So I was pretty annoyed at myself for that one. I can't look past Henry II. You know, it's course and distance, going to be heavy ground. It's not a strong selection, but I think he's got to be taken seriously and got a really good chance of winning, to be honest. I'm not going to overcomplicate it.
Sorry, Johnny, to cut you off there quickly at the end. I thought you were done. Too eager to look at the 3.42 at Sandown, unfortunately. Johnny's selection there was Henry II, just to clarify. We'll move on. This is indoor at the top of the market here, 11-4, Gustavian 9-2, O'Connell 5-1. Dreaming Blue 13-2 and Shan Blue 7-1. Graham, what do we like?
Yeah, I think the favourite win indoor, Venetia Williams. Ed's already said, you know, how well our horses tend to go on heavy ground. You'd have had squeaky bum time at the last when he won at Ascot, wouldn't you, last time? Because I don't think David Maxwell saw much of a stride there. Luckily, indoor went and did it for him, but he stood off that last fence. An absolute mile and just about cleared it. However, that does tell you that indoor must have had loads left in your tank. I mean, you don't see all tired horses stand off final fences in the way that indoor did that day. He then stormed up the hill under that Maxwell drive to win comfortably. And I reckon it could be another big win for Magic Maxi, David Maxwell, indoor. Don't complicate it. Stick with a favourite.
We talked about Mullins Mania. We've got Maxwell Magic. Johnny's got a no bet in this one. Ed, you're with a favourite as well.
Yeah, simple. Indoor, lightly raced. The lightest of races over chases. Only had two. He's two from two. And he's the youngest horse in the race as well. So he's got to take on a lot of horses who have been good horses in their time. Shan Blue is the one I think of when I'm saying that as much as anything else. But I think there's still improvement to come. And that's the thing, you know, already shown the form. And as Graham said, I mean, that jump at the last was, you know, was sensational. It just shows how much he had left. So in this ground as well, indoor, to me, looks a fair favourite to get on board with. Paul Nicholls' horse is quite interesting. Gelano Bello, who's another lightly raced horse over fences. And that could go well with Harry Cobden on board. I do love Harry on a chase. I just love the way he sits and just gives him lots of confidence. But yeah, sorry. I'm going on indoor, David Maxwell.
We will then quickly move on to Musselburgh, where the ground is good soft, cloudy, but some showers expected. We are going to start with a 142. This is the Bet365 Scottish Triumph Hurdle, where Harry Durham, who's not had a winner in 40 races, described his spells at the Racing Post as incredibly frustrating. He's got Queen's Gamble to look forward to in Ireland, and he's got a very exciting newcomer here in Metra on CN. 85-40, 40-1 for the Triumph. Narrodan 4-1 for Paul Nicholls, looking to win this race for a third time in a row. Static at 5-1, Lucas Tipple at 5s, Solar Drives at 17-2. Johnny, what do we like?
I like Lucas Tipple here. I'm hoping Sean Quinlan will give him a better ride than what I felt Sean O'Keefe gave him 2 weeks ago. He was pure steel, had the complete run of the race from the front that day. Lucas Tipple jumped a little bit big for Hurdling, but he finished the race well enough. I just thought he was too far back throughout and could have done a lot better under different tactics. I think he's still pretty well handicapped. I think he's second, albeit 11 lengths behind St. Lucy, who's in the Triumph trial at Leopardstown this week. It's a pretty good piece of form, and I think he can improve to win here.
What do you like, Ed?
Not a big player this race, but if I was, when I was looking through the form, of which there is very little, I thought Hussam, number three at a big price, was worth a second look. Rated in the 80s on the flat with Owen Burrows. Obviously wants the sharp 2 mile tracks, which Musselburgh obviously is. The better ground, good to soft. They've gone up there for that as well. Looking at the flat form, he was better on better ground. And he won at Wetherby last time out, only a couple of runs. So like the stable, like the booking of Brian Hughes, ran about 10s to 12 to 1. So, yeah, Hussam, not an interest for me in this race, but that's the one that I would be looking at and hoping it wins for the podcast.
12 to 1 with Unibet, and could get even shorter because, Graham, this is your fancy in the race.
Yeah, I agree with Ed. I thought that Hussam travelled like a good horse at Wetherby last time, was ridden very confidently by Brian Hughes, albeit in a weak enough race. Coming to the last, looked like he was going to win as he liked, but then bungled the last, made a right old mess of it, and ended up being very hard work for him. However, this sharper test on what's likely to be decent ground, it usually is at Musselburgh, will probably suit him. He's got that little bit of flat speed. It just might be the ideal test for Hussam.
217 at Musselburgh is our next point of focus. This is the Bet365 Scottish County Handicap Hurdle. We've got Affadil back in Scotland. He's 3 from 5 in Scotland. He's had 2 wins at Musselburgh, including in this race last season. But he's been beaten a total of 114 lengths this season. That's 114. He is 7-2 joint favourites on Saturday with Florida Dreams. Balamba for Harry Durham, which we discussed earlier. 11-2, Maglack also for Jimmy Fife at 7-1, Old Gregorian at 15-2, and Ravenscraig Castle at 10s. Affadil, Ed, he gets on so well. He loves his trips to Scotland, but his form is a bit, well, his form's clearly nowhere near his best. Is he going to bounce back on Saturday?
I think he will. Yeah, I mean, it's a strange thing to do when you look at the horse's form figures and you see that he's favourite. You probably think from a value point of view, it's not a value bet, but he's won this off. Did he win it off 1-2-4 last year? He reached 130. He's down to, is it 120 now? He's coming down the weights because of those poor runs. And if you're backing him, that's what you're holding your hat onto, isn't it? The fact that he's coming down to a winning weight, and they've obviously gone to Musselburgh and the Scottish Air whenever they think they've got a horse that can win the race. So they've done it again. Paul Nicholls loves going to Musselburgh at this meeting and the other one nearer the Cheltenham Festival when the ground's a little bit faster than elsewhere around the country. So he targets these races with these sort of horses. And yeah, I think he's the most likely winner in what is a competitive race. And we are going extra place again here as well, because it is, as you say, quite a difficult race. But Affadil would be my selection. You're right.
Freddie Giggle goes up for the ride. There's been a bit of money, it seems. 15-2 and 11-2 for Balhamba. This is your fancy, Graham.
Yeah, I like Balamba. I thought that he ran on really strongly last time at Savile. He was beaten only by Al Nalam, who came in on the back of a good run. I think it was Ascot previously. Al Nalam made all the running. Balamba come from right at the back and hit the line strongly. That was given plenty enough to do that day by Paul O'Brien. He's only gone up £1 in the weights. They go a bit faster here. That will suit him, and I expect to be ridden a bit closer to the pace. Better ground might also suit him. So, yeah, Balamba for me, James.
Johnny, with either the other two or going elsewhere?
No, it's interesting. Mug Lark here for Adrian Keighley. He's got James Rowbottom claiming 10, gets him well with the horse, having won him well and, you know, finishing third last time. They've gone for the cheap pieces, you know, hit the last hurdle last time, had to try and make him focus a little bit more. It is a fair step up in class in what he has been running in, but I think he looks overpriced and will have a good chance there for placing at the very least here.
And the final race in what's been a bit of a marathon of top-class racing over the weekend is the 250 at Musselburgh. This is the Bet365 Scottish Champion Chase, where at the top market we've got the Kaluki Kid for Nicky Richards. It's a bit of a frustrating time. One winner, 4 seconds and 3/3 from his last 9 runners, with his luck change on Saturday. Wait and see. Marble Sands, 11-2. Son Segal, a winner finally last time at 6-1. Manella Drama, Old Rome winner not too long ago at 8-1. And Corrigan Rock, last year's winner at 11-1. Will it be a repeat win for him, Johnny, or are you going to look elsewhere?
I think Marble Sands can win this. I don't think Stays 3 miles and ran at Newcastle, but ran okay. Was beaten by Springwell Bay last time, but I think that looks a very good piece of form. He's come down another pound in the weights. And yeah, I think he should go very close. I'd rather be taking the price about him than the favourite here.
And a winner at this meeting last year, of course. Graham, this is a no bet for you. You're going to avoid this one. So finally, Ed, what's your choice?
Competitive race, extra place race with Unibet. So once again, quite a difficult contest. My eye was drawn to the top weight, Manella Drama, who you quite rightly said won the Old Rowan a couple of runs back, then found the Peterborough Chase field a little bit too hot for him, pulled up back into handicap company here. 1 from 1 at Musselburgh on similar ground conditions, winning rated 145, he's 150. Thought he had a good chance to come back from that poor run in the Peterborough Chase.
We will be getting the boys' best bets of a weekend. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so it's that time in the show again. We find out those all important apps. Not the best week last week, but we're going to come straight back. Graham, hit us up. What is the best bet from you this weekend?
What a Johnny. What a Johnny for me. James, that's running at Sandown in the staying handicap, the 307, the Heroes handicap. Johnny's going to be a hero this week. Go on, Johnny.
Johnny, you're going to be a hero as well. What are you going to nap?
Yeah, Classic Maestro is hopefully going to win for Jenny Clanlish in the 2 o'clock at Sandown.
That's the Johnny double. I'm going to go Marble Sands in the 250 at Musselburgh. I think this horse is the one to beat there. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the lightly race Soul Solution on handicap debut, 125 at Sandown. We'll enjoy the ground. And we know from Venetia Williams, her horses always go well in the ground. I think one step ahead of handicap, of just rated 114 on his handicap debut.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much to our panellists, Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson. So much top quality racing there. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, as always, please do rate, review and subscribe to the Racing Post on YouTube. Loads of content to look out for during the Dublin Racing Festival, of course. Do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday for a show looking ahead at Newbury's Super Saturday. As we mentioned, Sergino among the potential runners there. Should be an absolute belting card with the big handicap pearl there as well. But as ever, do enjoy the Dublin Racing Festival this weekend. Join us again next week. And as ever, gamble responsibly.